Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-minus 58 hours, 38 minutes, and some seconds and counting. Round one of the NFL draft. We are all on the clock. How are you betting the draft, and how will your favorite teams or favorite teams to bet be affected by what they do in the first round? Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports joins us momentarily here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, live coast to coast on the BetQL Network. I'm Chris Mack alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. In 35 minutes or so, we will draft the draft. What the heck does that mean? We'll tell you our favorite NFL draft bets, and we'll tell you them draft style. Yes, Von Dalzell, 1 hour from now from NBC Sports to talk about what we saw in some dramatic game twos in the NBA playoffs last night and whether he thinks the Lakers or the Sixers, we're not even mentioning the Magic anymore, the Lakers or the Sixers can bounce back in those first round series. Connor Allen of 4 for 4 a little bit later. And we will take a quick look at today's MLB action as well with some members of the list of losers on the bump for their respective teams. But as mentioned, you can follow him on X at Ryan Wilson CBS. He is getting ready to cover the entire draft for CBS Sports. Latest mock out this morning. What he would do if he were GM for all 32 of these teams. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports joins us now on BetQL Daily. Good morning, Ryan. Thanks for making the time at what is the busiest time of year for you.
Yeah. Christmas is in 50-something hours, as you noted there, and then I will disappear for the month of May. So, yeah, no, I'm excited. This is going to be an exciting draft class. It's going to start at the top after presumably Caleb gets off the board, and then things are going to get crazy, it feels like.
Well, yeah, when does it start to get crazy? You know, we've got the Patriots declaring they're open for business last week. Is that because they're desperate to get some calls on the third overall pick? Is that because the calls haven't been good enough? What do we expect to happen, I guess, right there at 3? Does it involve J.J. McCarthy? And is that kind of where, you know, as we say, the old cliche, the draft starts?
Yeah, I mean, 2 is going to be interesting. I've heard Jaden Daniels, and that's no grand proclamation. We've heard that other places as well. I heard last week that Washington wasn't done yet with their evaluation. Then they had all 4 quarterbacks come in at the same time, which was a curious strategy. But at 3, if you're trading up for the Minnesota Vikings, for example, it's going to be for Drake May almost certainly. I don't think you're trading up for JJ if Drake's still on the board. The other thing when you talk about are the Patriots legitimately open for business or not, I think they are. And if the offer is sweet enough, that allow them to stockpile some picks, because that team, as it's currently constituted, especially in offense, is not very good. They don't have consistency at the tackle position. Last year, they drafted a bunch of guards, which I thought was sort of funny. The guards actually played a lot, but they need help at tackle. They need some dynamic wide receivers. They don't have anyone at that position. DeMario Douglas is probably their best wide receiver, and he was a day 3 pick last year who was 5'8", 5'9". And when he was on the field and not in Bill Belichick's doghouse, he was pretty dynamic, but they need someone outside that can stretch the field. If you trade down from 3 with the understanding that maybe we're not set up infrastructure-wise to support a rookie quarterback like a Drake May, maybe we'll roll with Jacoby Brissett, maybe we'll sign a veteran and see what we can do and then circle back in the offseason. But in the meantime, let's build around the build around the quarterback who is there, I think they could do a lot of damage. And they're going to, you're going to have to overpay if you're coming up to three, because you're not, no one's surprised at who you're coming to get. You're not coming up to get Joe Ald. You're coming up to get one of these quarterbacks, almost certainly Drake May. And then if you're New England, trade down to a, you're going to get 11 from the Vikings. You're going to get 23. You're probably going to get a 2025 first rounder, maybe get some other draft compensation or a player. And then suddenly things start to look a little different for New England's prospects, at least in a pretty competitive division.
Ryan, what about offensive linemen? I'm interested, week of the draft and some of the movement in various mock drafts out there, because for so long, it seemed like almost everyone had Joel plugged in number 7 to Tennessee. And now the idea of him going even higher is out there, and some believing, okay, maybe we're going to have another offensive line like J.C. Latham go even higher than people have been saying throughout the process. How do you think the order goes with offensive linemen, some possibilities? And then the number is set at 9.5 offensive linemen in the first round. Where are you at there?
Yeah. So if in fact the Patriots or the Cardinals are willing to trade down, that means the Chargers at 5 are not going to trade down unless there's going to be two trades up for a quarterback and someone comes up for JJ later. But assuming the Chargers stay put, I would take Malik Nabers all day, but we know that Jim Harbaugh loves to run the ball. He's going to incorporate that. He has Greg Roman as his OC. That's a big part of what Greg Roman does. And Joe Ault feels like that could be landing spot number one for him. They already have a left tackle, so Joe Ault's going to have to move to the right side, or Rashawn Slater's going to have to move. They have to figure that part out. But Joe Ault is going to be the first tackle drafted. I like Olafashinu a little better in terms of looking down the road 2 or 3 years, but that doesn't help you at all in your purposes here. And then I think at 7, the Tennessee Titans are layup. They could be a trade-down candidate as well. But if the idea is to protect Will Levis, then you have to, without hesitation, take a tackle there. The Chargers could move down, and maybe, to your point, Joe, target J.C. Latham as well, who's the right tackle only. But, all right, let's see. How many of these guys are going off the board? Because, as you know, 9.5 is a really good number, because this class is stacked, especially at the top. So Joe Ault, Fashanu, Tully Fuaga, Troy Faltanu, J.C. Latham. Those guys are all going in the first round. Tyler Guyton has a chance to go in the first round. I think that brings us to 6. And then you're talking about interior offensive linemen. You have Graham Barton. That's 7. And then Amarius Mims, who's the huge, enormous, gargantuan right tackle out of Georgia. Hasn't played a lot, but athletically he might be the freakiest person in this draft. And that gets you to 8. After that, it gets a little, you're starting to get close here. Jordan Morgan, maybe out of Arizona, has a chance to go in the first round. I know some teams are looking at him at the bottom of round 1, and that gets you to 9. And then the question becomes, I was just talking to Chris about this, Jackson Powers Johnson. I heard he's going to fall out of the first round unless there's one team that comes back to get him. But I think there's a chance, more likely than not, that he ends up in round 2. So that gets you to 9. So the number is right where you want it to be. And then the question becomes, is there going to be a wild card with a Jackson Powers Johnson, or maybe even a player we're not talking about, a Patrick Paul, for example, who I don't think is a first round talent, but he was tweeting earlier this week that he's going to go on Thursday. So maybe he knows something we don't.
Wow. Fascinating. I cannot wait for the draft. I know you mentioned that your mock this morning was what you would do, and you've got receiver, Harrison, Nabers, and then Adunze. What is the likelihood of Nabers going before Harrison? I'd like to see Harrison go first as the first wide receiver selected, but there's so much value on Nabers. Maybe I'm reaching here, but what do you think the chances are he could be the first wide receiver selected?
Yeah, no. And this is a great, I do a podcast with Rick Spielman, and Rick Spielman starts every sentence with yeah, no, and it's rubbing off on me. But the reason I said that is because Arizona at 4, I've heard that Arizona is all in on Marvin. And Marvin had talked to Arizona during the pre-draft process about not working out and all the things that we were yammering on about that he didn't do, and they were okay with it. But there are teams that like Malik a little better, and there are teams that have Rome Odunze right up there in that mix. I think if Arizona stays put at 4 and doesn't trade out, Marvin's going to be their pick. And that's, again, that's not hard to put those dots together. If Arizona trades out of that pick for a team to come up and get a quarterback, then you have to say, okay, who do the Giants like? Who do the Chargers like if the Chargers want to go in that direction? And then things get – maybe that's where you find the value on a Malik Nabers or a Rome Odunze. And, I'm not a gambler just because I'm terrible at it and I'm lazy. But I do wonder – I'll ask you guys. Rome Odunze at 10 to the Giants. What's the value on that? To the Jets, excuse me, because that's something.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That I really like, and I like it better than Brock Bowers. I think Brock Bowers is going to last a little longer than that. Yeah, you didn't expect questions from me, did you, as you scrambled?
No, this is good. I like this back and forth.
So I'm in Chicago. I don't see how he gets past the Bears at 9. Are you saying the Bears
stick at 9? So I'll say this, Joe.
Yeah.
Here's what I've heard, and again, we don't know. No one knows. Unlike, say, free agency or when players sign big contracts, there's no incentive for teams to tell us what they're doing. But just trying to piece it together, talking to people around the league, I think the Bears are thinking about an edge rusher, but you would not get much. And because they only have the 4 picks, right? And Montez Sweat was so good last year. They got some young interior defensive line help with those 2 draft picks. And if you book in Montez Sweat with how good that defense is playing, I think they feel pretty good about the wide receiver room. That said, I mean, if you took Rome at 9, you have to feel pretty good about it if you're Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus.
Well, and it's an interesting line, too, because the one that I see is, you know, over under 8.5 as his draft position. And the over is plus 115. So we're getting a little bit of value, a little better than even money if he goes 9 or later, which would tell you, to be honest, Ryan, would kind of feed into what you're talking about there. Like, hey, he either goes early or he doesn't go off the board to the Bears. Maybe it's a little bit later even. So that's one way to look at it. I think that's an interesting number to talk about Adunze going before the 9th spot. And that's actually pretty well juiced, minus 155. The idea of Adunze going before Chicago even comes up on the clock at 9. Let me circle back around to the quarterbacks and the teams interested in quarterbacks, because I'm as guilty of this as anybody in focusing on, okay, Chicago, Washington, New England at the top. And then you get to 11, 12, 13, right? Minnesota, Denver, Vegas, all quarterback thirsty teams, we would think. The one team in between, sandwiched in the middle, almost exactly in the middle, that has sort of sent some vague smoke screens over the past few weeks about not being excited with the quarterback they're currently tied to for just one more year, the New York Giants at 6. How aggressive do you think this organization may or may not be? Because if I see a prime trading partner to move up from 6 to 3 to jump on a Drake May, if the Patriots are doubting their ability as currently constituted to develop a young quarterback, it's the Giants moving from 6 to 3, the Patriots coming back, adding some draft capital, maybe even moving back a second time, right? Because then the panic starts to set in for everybody after Arizona and LA, and they go, oh my God, McCarthy might be off the board too. And somebody jumps to 6 to get McCarthy. Could the Giants be a domino that falls that sort of sets everything off at number 3?
I'm literally sweating right now going through all these iterations as if I had money. That's why I don't gamble. Like, I'm so terrible at it, and I can't take the pressure. But what you lay out there, Chris, is conceivable. It's not even a long shot. Now, what I heard last week, and I got to circle back and make some calls tomorrow, is that the Giants are doing a ton of work on quarterbacks, but not in the first round. So guys that are looking at down the line. So take that for what it's worth. It doesn't mean anything in the scheme of things. They could very easily be traded up. My only hesitation is if you're the Giants and the Vikings know what the Giants could conceivably be thinking, and the Vikings feel like they're going all in. So they're going to give up the 23rd pick. They're going to give up next year's first. I don't know how much the Giants are willing to give up, because it feels like the Vikings are a little closer to where they want to be than New York is. I could be wrong in that, but I feel like Kevin O'Connell has done such a great job with those quarterbacks. That defense under Brian Flores was lights out last year down the stretch, and obviously they have Justin Jefferson and Christian Darrisaw. They have pieces in place. So my only hesitation is, do the Giants have enough ammunition, and are they willing to come off that ammunition to move up? Also, based on sort of what I was hearing last week, that they're looking at quarterbacks maybe later in the draft. I don't know if that means Bo Nix or Spencer Rattler or whomever, Michael Pratt. But I feel better about, and this is, again, I feel better about some other team trading up 11, 12, 13, probably not even Denver. I think Denver's going to be going in the other direction than the Giants. I think the Giants are more likely to stay put and maybe try to roll the dice on a Malik Nabers or Marvin should he fall or someone like that.
No matter which defensive name we talk about, it seems like people are all over the place on them. Either top 10 or 20s. Like, I've seen that with Verse. I've seen that with Dallas Turner, Latu, Murphy. Why are people all over the place on these defensive players?
I like Verse the best among the edge rushers, and typically I have him going to the Bears. But I would not be surprised if at 8, Byron Murphy is the first player drafted. Like, they have needs in Atlanta at edge rush, but Byron Murphy is so disruptive. And it's unfair to compare him to Aaron Donald, of course, but he is that sort of disruptor in the middle of that defense. Maybe Quinnen Williams is a better comparison in terms of being disruptive coming out of school. But either way, if you took him at 8, even at 9, I would think about it, but I understand the edge rush needs. And I know you, Joe, you were talking about the wide receiver, Chicago. But I think that's the variation. Edge rush is where you typically start the conversation about getting after the quarterback. But when you see someone as special as Byron, and you hear murmurs that maybe Byron ends up being the first defensive player off the board because even though he's an interior defensive lineman, that's the disconnect. I think if Leatu Latu was healthy, he had a chance to be edge one. I think Dallas Turner is going to be edge one. I talked to Will Anderson back in the fall, and he's like, Dallas is actually better than I was coming out of Alabama, which is hard to wrap your brain around. I think Verse is the safest pick. He reminds me a lot of Josh Allen coming out of Jacksonville. Jaguars Josh Allen, not Buffalo Josh Allen. And so what flavor of ice cream are you looking for? But I'm going to put you guys on the spot. What's the number for Byron Murphy?
That is, what's Murphy?
Being the first defensive guy? I know you have to wrap here, but whatever it is.
Guy? Yeah.
I love that. I love Byron Murphy being the first defensive guy off the board. So take that for what it's worth.
Okay.
That's the market that's probably had the most flux in it, I think, over the last couple of weeks, is that first defensive player off the board, plus 300 for Byron Murphy to be that guy right now. So there you go, Ryan. A little bit of investment help from Ryan Wilson. We won't call it betting, Ryan. If it makes the palms less sweaty, it's sports investing. We appreciate the time this morning, man. Great insight. Seriously, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Ryan Wilson, at Ryan Wilson CBS on X, and follow all of his coverage of the NFL draft later this week on CBS Sports. Von Dalzell around the corner, a few minutes to talk NBA playoffs, and we draft the draft at the top of the hour. But coming up next, we go off the board here on BetQL Daily.